Good morning. Certainly want to extend a warm welcome to everyone, especially our visitors. We have a number that are out, as was mentioned. Many are traveling, so it's always good to have each and every one of you here. So this morning, we're going to talk about love. And as we just partook in the Lord's Supper, we realize that there is no greater example of love than Christ's sacrifice for all of mankind. And God's willingness to allow His only begotten Son to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. And no one's going to take away from that. However, there are also other examples in the Bible of people who loved. People who were not God's only begotten Son, but just as us, people who faced all the adversity of life, all the different challenges that we all in turn face, the years that we're allowed to be here. One of the, I would say, more privileged gifts I've received since being adjoined to the, I guess you could say, the Boyd clan and in turn the Marsh, is that I was able, Kay, my mother-in-law, allowed me to receive some of Mr. Kersey's library. And in that library, there are numerous things, but he had a lot of books on spirituality, as he was a very Christian man, and as many of you know. And one of those books is entitled Women of the Bible. And from that is kind of where I'm going to go with this lesson. We're going to talk about Ruth today. Having been married and obviously having a Christian mother, having a Christian wife, Christian mother-in-law, and knowing many Christian women that sit in this audience and so many more, I'm always, I guess as I age, I realize the strength of women. You know, men, we like to put on this game face, so to speak, but really, you know, having seen my wife in childbirth, having, worked with a lot of women who deal with a lot of men, you know, really, we don't even add up. And I say that with all the pride of mankind, we really don't. And I think we all who are very honest with ourselves will admit that. And so we're thankful to have them, and we're thankful for lessons like that we have in Ruth. So today's title is going to be Love Lessons from the Life of Ruth. And our aim today is going to be to exemplify the concept of love in action. So as we get started, I want to read from the first chapter of Ruth. If you'll follow along with me, I'm going to read from the New American Standard. I'm going to start in chapter 1, verse 6. I'm going to read through verse 18. And I know we're all familiar with this story, but just to kind of reiterate. Then she, Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the land of Moab, for she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant you that you may find rest each in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, but we will surely return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So to kind of just, I'll give you a little bit of a background from the verses we didn't read. And I know we're all familiar with this, but let's just kind of go. So the book of Ruth begins with the story of Elimelech, which is Naomi's husband. Elimelech and Naomi and their sons leave Bethlehem's and they come to Moab searching for food. While they're there, the sons meet two Moabite ladies, Ruth and Orpah, and Naomi gains two daughters-in-law. We don't know how old Ruth was, but, you know, going from traditions of that age, we can somewhat assume that she was probably in her teens. That's when most people married. And so within a period of about 10 years that they were there, Naomi loses, not only her husband, but both her sons as well. So when she learns, as we just read, that there's bread back in Israel again, she sets to return, and she entreats, as we just read, the daughters-in-law to go back to their people, and as we saw, Ruth doesn't do this. So we can somewhat, again, assume that she's in her 20s, Ruth is in her 20s when her husband died, and that she made the decision to remain there with Naomi. So from all of that, we can make one conclusion, is that the book of Ruth already has set the standard that it's a book, it's a love story, right? It's the story that tells of a young woman who gave up her people, her religion, and her very life to care for another. In turn, she ended up being the one cared for, and even the name Ruth itself means friendship. So today's discussion, I want to look at three lessons we learned from Ruth's love. First lesson is the lesson of dedication. We read that Ruth dedicated herself to Naomi. She even went as far to state that, where I die, you'll die. And let nothing separate us but death. So she made a choice. Orpah, not putting any shadow against her. I mean, it wasn't like she just took off at first sign of adversity. But she did. She went back to her people, and Ruth chose to stay. We know that Ruth didn't seek personal gain in her choice. There was nothing to gain from it. Naomi had no more sons to marry. And as far as Ruth knew, she was going back to Israel to die as a widow. And, you know, that may seem, I think that still has some context, obviously, in today. But, you know, for that culture particularly, to have just sacrificed your entire life and to be a widow would have been a great travesty. Because, you know, women's purpose, not saying it's not now, but especially in the culture of that time, would have been to marry, have children, and so forth. So she gave up her own personal comforts for this choice. She abandoned the gods of her people. We know they weren't the one true living God, so she made an excellent decision there. But she did abandon that, and she chose to make Naomi's God, who we know to be the Lord God, her God also. So the question for us today is, does our love show true dedication? Do we recognize the choice that we have made to follow God? We're told that we're only fit to follow God if we've committed all. We look at Luke 9, verse 62. It says, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." We also learn that God has no pleasure in those that draw back. Hebrews 10:38. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Ruth made a lasting choice with real consequences. Do we follow God from the perspective of seeking personal gain? You know, some some come to church and they do the right things, and certainly when they're young, but I'm not talking necessarily about that. I'm talking about as we come to understand what our relationship with God should be. They do it as a means to please their either their parents, their wife, kids maybe, whatever the case may be. And then others have other reasons for that, but, you know, that kind of tells us, and we're going to read some verses, that it's more than just being in the pews. It's more about, and it's not anything about pleasing the person next to you, but rather about pleasing God. And so, and we see that in 1 Timothy 6:5. Paul condemns those who think godliness is a way of personal gain. Ruth expected no favors from Naomi in return. We're not given any sort of inclination that there was anything for her that was an agreement, if you will, but rather a commitment. So are we willing to give up personal comforts in order to do God's will? We're taught about lip service, what that is. It accomplishes nothing. These proclaim love for God until it inconveniences them. And I think we're all somewhat, maybe especially in the first relationship, as we start to have a relationship with God, you know, those are the hurdles we have to overcome, the inconveniences. Because, of course, Christ tells us that, you know, being a Christian is not going to be a convenient life. There's numerous verses that state that. And Paul tells us in Philippians 3, 7 and 8, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. So as we see in Ruth gave up everything. So truly, Ruth's love shows us true dedication. Ruth was also exemplified devotion. Ruth devoted herself to Naomi. In Ruth chapter 2, in verses 11 and 12, she's met Boaz, and Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." So even Boaz, once she came to be familiar with him, it had been told to him, and others had been talking about what type of devotion that Ruth had exemplified. So Ruth was working to feed Naomi. We're told that she went into the fields, she gleaned the grain and beat it out. Ruth 2:17 says she came home with about, I guess the term is an ephah of barley, which I understand in my research to equate to about 5 gallons. Now, anyone who can do that, gain that much flour, I guess if you will, one day, that's a lot of work. The only thing I have to go by is I'm the administrator of a hospital and nursing home, and our residents in our nursing home tell me about picking cotton. And they have these huge burlap sacks. And some of them tell me, you know, well, I could get it this full. And then, you know, the ones who are real proud of their work, and they probably have terrible arthritis because of it, but, you know, they're like, well, I could get a full bag of cotton in a day. And so in my mind, that's what I go to is the picture that they paint is working out in the hot sun. There's no air conditioning. There's not anything like that. They're picking cotton, and they're doing it because they have to support the family. And in my mind, that's basically what Ruth was doing. So she cared for Naomi in her older age. We don't exactly know how old Naomi was, but she was old enough to have 2 grown sons and who were married for at least 10 years. And she was old enough also to need support from others. We then find out on in chapter 2 that Ruth was even willing to marry a virtual stranger to accomplish the goal of taking care of Naomi. Now, we know that Boaz was a good man, but that doesn't take away from the fact that she didn't know him. I think there's even a show, Married at First Sight, and I think most of those marriages turn out terrible. I've never saw it, but I kind of thought about that when I was going through this lesson. But, you know, such devotion exhibits great trust in others. Such devotion demonstrates true self-sacrifice. And in thinking about that, does our love show that type of true devotion today? Do we understand the value of labor for those we love? 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if anyone does not provide his own, especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Ephesians 4:28, "He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need." Do we understand our need to care for the helpless? We're taught about pure religion and what pure religion is in James chapter 1. And it's identified in the last part of that chapter in verse 27. It says, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." So the saved Christians are to care for those who can't care for themselves. Matthew 25, starting in verse 34, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.'" Would we be willing to sacrifice our life for another? And what I mean by that is not necessarily to die, but to give up your life as what your expectations and your goals are in order to serve someone else. Certainly death can play into that, but I think too often when we talk about, when Christ and the apostles talk about giving one's life for another, we think automatically to death. But there's a lot in life, what time we're blessed with, where we make that commitment, in this case devotion, to do what we can in order to serve. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Indeed, Ruth's love shows us true devotion. She gave her entire life to her mother-in-law. The third lesson that we can learn from Ruth is determination. Ruth was determined, very determined. She was determined to go with Naomi. In Ruth 1:18, when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. Naomi even saw this, right? She told Orpah, "Go." Orpah said, "No, we'll stay with you." Ruth, "No, we'll stay with you." "Go." Orpah went. Ruth did not go. And it tells us, that even specifies, that she realized that she wasn't going anywhere. And in doing that, she just left her alone and said, "Okay, well, come on." Ruth determined to work for Naomi. Ruth 2:2, "And Ruth and the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor.'" You know, not only was she willing, but in this day and age, for her to go out as a single woman into the field was also a very dangerous thing. She would have been very susceptible. Men often took advantage of women in this particular situation. It would have been understandable if she didn't want to do that. But she did. She was determined to go. Ruth was determined to marry Boaz to support Naomi. In Ruth 3:5, she said to her in response to Naomi's instruction to go into Boaz, "All that you say, I shall do." No question about it. Whatever you say, I'm going to do it. She trusted her and she was determined to help her. And so, to kind of give a little bit of a specification about that particular, and please go back and read it if you're not as familiar with it, but the law of Israel had a provision for marriage if no male child was in the family. And it was the law of the near kinsman, which was met by this, and this entailed marriage. So Ruth did follow the customs of the day to initiate the courtship with Boaz under this law. So Ruth determined that nothing would stop her from these tasks. And question for us today, does our love show true determination? Are we determined to go when the Lord tells us to go? We read in Mark 16, starting in verse 15, Jesus tells his disciples, go into all the world. We're told to go on to the highways and byways, if you will. Luke 14, starting in verse 21, in reference to the parable of the feast, and the head of the household became angry and said to the slave, go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and blind and lame. So do we work when the Lord tells us to work? John 9:4, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Galatians 6:10, as we have opportunity. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those of the household of faith. Is there anything that can stop us from doing God's will today? I would submit to you that there is nothing externally that can keep us from serving God if we're determined to do so. Romans 8, verse 31, if God is for us, who is against us? I would tell you that the only ones who can stop us from working for God is ourselves. As it was once said, we have met the enemy, and he is us. If God is on our side, who could be against us? Does that mean we won't, you know, encounter adversity? Absolutely not. But there's nothing besides ourselves and our weakness that would deter us from actually serving and working for God. You know, Todd gave a lesson not too long ago, and I've been thinking about it a lot. I wish he was here, and I should have told him. But, you know, he painted, and I think accurately so, this picture of God rooting for us. God wants us to win. It's not like he's setting all these traps up for us to, and just to see if we'll do the right thing. It doesn't work like that. God wants us to accomplish the goal that he's given us to do. And since his lesson, I've really thought about that, because although I definitely wouldn't have said that, you know, I think God sets traps for us, but sometimes our natural way of thinking kind of leads us down that path when we deal with things in life. And as Robert said, that's Satan wanting to get us on board those kind of thought processes so that we get derailed, if you will. But God is on our side. He wants us to be there. And he's not going to let anything deter us. And again, the only thing that can keep us from that is us. So Ruth's love showed true determination, and she wasn't deterred. So in conclusion, Ruth's love showed true dedication. Ruth's love showed true devotion. Ruth's love showed true determination. So I would ask you, do you have this love in your heart? And is it exemplified in your dedication, your devotion, and determination to the Lord's church? If it isn't, think of Ruth. Draw from her strength and take the opportunity to make it right today as we stand and sing.